Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew, and I read, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'"
Good morning. Got a good group this morning. Good to see everybody. A blessing at this time of the year and the middle of the summer to be together. We want to welcome all of our guests that are with us this morning. I know that we have a few. Some have been traveling through. And if you're from the community, we want you to find a home here, and we want to encourage you to become a part of this congregation. Remember John chapter 1? Remember Philip going and getting Nathanael and saying, "I think I found the Christ. Come and see." And you remember Andrew going and getting Peter and saying the same thing, "Come and see, this is the Christ." So what we want to do as far as evangelism is to bring other people, and maybe we're not able, or we don't feel confident enough in our teaching yet, or maybe we get to a point where you've had a study, maybe a dozen studies, and it seems like it's not coming to where you want it to come, you're not coming to a head. So it's come in here, come and see this, get somebody else involved in that study. So going along with our VBS thing, one thing I was looking for, a common thread of us working together. And one thing that seems very essential to our unity is the Great Commission that Brother Dutch had read for us this morning. And that is Jesus saying, here it is, this is Christ rising from the dead with his disciples before he ascends into heaven and saying, "Go into all the nations and make disciples." And what's interesting, when you look at Matthew 28, 19 and 20, there's an imperative and a command there, and the imperative is to make disciples. And all the other words there are telling you how to do it. You've got to go, you've got to baptize, and you've got to teach them all things. They're all participles that help define that imperative meaning a command to make disciples. That's our mission. Now, when we start thinking about that, I find a lot of people are very discouraged today when it comes to evangelism. Well, the world is just not the way that it used to be. Well, okay. People won't listen as much. Back up 2,000 years in the Greco-Roman world, and the sins that they committed, the wickedness that was in the world at that time is much like, if not greater than it is today. And yet we say, I don't know, people won't receive the gospel. They're just not as receptive today. Now, you do see in certain parts of the Bible, there are certain areas that are not as receptive at certain times, but it's not a time period. And when I think about that, and going in with our theme with VBS was God's team. And the idea was that we work together in unity. And it can be a very discouraging thing. Have you ever been a part of a sports team, an organized sports team, and you ever had players on that team say, okay, we're playing this team. They are really, really good. We're going to lose. You ever heard that? Or maybe you have a favorite sports team, and maybe come football season, you see your football team is playing my football team, and you already know they're going to lose. Not going to be helpful. But if you are on that team, it's going to hurt you. You don't do that. I remember playing football and us playing, you know, here we are, this little school. We're playing this bigger school with bigger players. And the guys on the team, I remember going out on the field, were saying, we've already lost this. Guess what happened? We've already lost. It was already true. In my thinking, my dad always said, it doesn't matter how big the other guy is that you're playing against. Don't think about it. You just hit him hard and play the game and play as you do and do what you do and work hard at it. And don't think about that. Don't ever think that you've already lost. And so I want to encourage you, brethren, don't get to the mindset where it's, I don't need to share the gospel with this person. I think about Jesus talking to the woman at the well. She'd been married 5 times. It was with a man who wasn't her husband. I think a lot of people today, if you came across somebody who had been married 5 times and you start talking to them about the gospel, you might have already given up. You might find out, well, they've already been married 5 times. They're with somebody else who's not their spouse. There's no way this can be resolved. There's no way this can work out. But Jesus preaches to her, tells her the gospel, tells her that he is the Messiah. She goes back into the city and brings the city out to him, and they all become believers. So let's get rid of that mentality, that thinking that we give up. That doesn't help the team, and it doesn't help the church when we say, I can't do it, and I can't teach the truth. What we need to be doing is praying. I love this scripture right here from Paul, and we're going to give the other end of it when we get to the end of the study, but look right here in Colossians 4, 2 through 4. Paul says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. So prayer, you're asking a request from God, but make sure you're doing it with thanksgiving. He says, at the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word. You know what I learned from this immediately? That if I'm going to evangelize, I need to be praying. If I'm going to share the gospel or tell somebody else, and I want doors to open up, it takes prayer. And Paul is not just saying, well, I can pray on my own and I don't need your prayer. He's saying to this church, I need you praying, all of you. We're all praying for doors to open to share the gospel. It takes the church praying. It takes multiple churches praying. And if I could talk to all the other churches in town right now, the Churches of Christ and our brotherhood, I would tell them the same thing. We need to all be praying about this. And I have the impression that so many people have given up, they don't even think it's worth praying about to share the gospel. And so Paul says, at the same time, pray for us also that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ. That word, mystery of Christ, is the gospel. It is the word of God, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. And so now he's also praying, pray for me that I know how to speak, that I say the right words. You ever wondered about that? I don't know what to say. The first thing you can do is to pray about it. Pray to God. Pray for God for wisdom. The Bible says if you pray to God for wisdom, he might give it to you. No, he says he will give it to you. You will have wisdom. James chapter 1. We need to pray about that. So I encourage you this morning, number one, don't give up. Number two, be praying about this, that we want to share the gospel. Christians must invite God or request God through prayer to open doors for evangelism. We see that throughout the New Testament. We wonder what's going on in the church today. Well, we've given up and we stop praying and we wonder why we're not reaching more people. Well, God must be at work in all this. This is where we become united and together. I love the scriptures. We look in Matthew 12 and verse 30. It always has an effect upon my heart. When I hear Jesus say this, he says, you're either with me or you're against me. You're either gathering with me or you are scattering. That strikes me. Because you turn that passage in reverse and you take those statements right there from Matthew 12 and verse 30. You're either gathering or you're scattering. So I'm not gathering. That means I'm scattering. Not only that, but it means that I'm not with Christ, but I'm acting contrary to him. The Bible teaches us that this is the mission of the church. This is what we do as God's team, as his body, is to share the gospel. That's what we're about. Now, each member, we have different parts. There's certain talents and gifts that we have that are given to us by God that we can use. You know your abilities. Use them for that. Whether you're good at social media, you're good at making contacts, even though you're not very good at making studies, or maybe you're good at studying, but you need someone to show you who to study with. There are different places every one of us find our strengths and our weaknesses, and we have a part in this. And so it is a mission that God has given us that we do as a team together. So Jesus sent his disciples to make disciples. And when he sent his disciples, the word sent, apostello, produces the word apostle, apostolos in Greek. And so they became apostles when Jesus sent them out. First they were disciples, and then we read about in Mark chapter 3 that he went up on the mountain. After he had healed a bunch of people, he went up on the mountain and he was praying, and he called the 12 up to him and he sent them. And it says in the text that he called them apostles. That's when he gave them the name. You are the sent out. This is your mission. After a year of ministry with Jesus, in his last 2 years, he was sending these men out. And then finally, when Christ rises from the dead, the scripture reading we had for this morning, you hear it again. This is a scripture right here, brethren, that every single one of us should have memorized. You should know this. When someone says, where's the Great Commission in the Bible? You say, Matthew chapter 28. Hopefully, Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20. But if you can get Matthew 28, great, that's wonderful. Put it in your head. This is what we're about. This is what we do. This is what we think about. I'm a Christian, and I'm thinking about, as far as my faith, producing good works. Why am I producing good works? What is this all for? What are we together as the Church of Christ for? Here it is. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you even to the end of the age. So we need to be making disciples. And he says there, you teach them to keep all the commands, which means you teach them the command I just gave you to make disciples. And I think about this, and I think about the disciples, and I look at their life. Were they united? How were they united? They were united in following Christ. They were united in doing as he told them to do and instructed them to do. And as the church, that's what unites us today. It's the love of Christ, his sympathy, his compassion, his teaching, his teaching as far as eternal life, his teaching as far as baptism, this teaching as far as I'm going to build a church that will never be destroyed, that Hades will not conquer it and overcome it. We teach what Christ teaches. We proclaim that message. That's why we're here. That's the whole purpose for having this building. I think some people think that the only purpose is we have a room that we can meet in for 1 hour a week so we can take the Lord's Supper to make sure that I can have eternal life. But our mission as a church is to try to get others, our family, our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, everyone around us to have eternal life, to share with them the truth. And we can examine ourselves this morning. We can look at how Jesus trained his disciples, and we can see it right here in Scripture. Matthew 4 and verse 19. Christ has a plan that you see throughout the ministry. The first thing Jesus went is he went out and called the disciples. The last disciple he calls is Matthew. He spent the whole first year gathering his disciples, teaching them along the way, and then lastly, he has Matthew. And Matthew here, we have his gospel. He's the last disciple who's chosen, but his gospel appears to be the first one. Some might say Mark. I believe it is Matthew, the first gospel, and here he is writing it. He's certainly not the least. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And this is what Jesus says when he calls Peter and Andrew and those who are fishing. He says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. This is how Christians need to develop. And I look at myself, and I say, where am I as a Christian? I'm at the point at which God has called me, Christ has called me to follow him, so I am. And then as I move throughout my life, he begins to transform me and to make me, and we see that. Follow me, number one, I will make you, number two, and lastly, our goal is to be fishers of men, to be the way that Christ intended as he was training his disciples. To be a disciple is to be a student with a teacher, one above you, and it involves training. It involves this process throughout our life that we continue and learn from Christ. So why did Jesus send the disciples by two? I want you to think about this as well. So the message this morning is that we're united in the mission. He didn't send them out by one. I think it's interesting. He sends them out and he says, all you need is a staff and a tunic and the sandals on your feet. And then yet you need somebody else with you. We need to be going in twos maybe. We need to be together more. We work together at this. And we see Jesus, he sent out his disciples. He didn't say, okay, one, go everywhere. He sent them together. And the Bible tells us that. Ecclesiastes says, two are better than one when they're working together. Whatever they're doing, it's always better. When I was in college, I used to cut grass to make money. It's a lot harder to cut grass by myself. For some reason, it seemed 10 times easier when I had somebody else with me, when I was cutting the yards. And so with me and my friends, we would do it together. It got done a lot faster. And as the Bible tells us, that two work together. One sharpens the other. So Christ tells us this. And the Bible tells us where two or three are gathered together, in my name, there I am in the midst of them. In the sense of God hearing our prayers, that it can't just be my prayers alone, but I need to be asking others to be praying with me. And that, of course, as already seen, ties into evangelism. And God has arranged, he's set every member in the body the way that he wants it so that we work together. Now, the Bible tells us that there are some churches that did not work together, and they would not grow because they didn't work together. So Jesus' disciples, this is what we see about his training. They live with him, and they live with one another. They were close. And it's because of this they could see Jesus' example, his service, when he washed their feet, when he did these wonderful acts of love. They saw that, and they saw the way that he cared for people, how he shared the gospel. And we need that in the church today. We need it from our leaders. We need it from our elders and deacons. We need it from the minister to be setting an example, to be including the rest of the congregation in the good works and the things that they're able to do. And I know that very much applies to me. And I think about this, and that's what I'm constantly thinking on. How can I include others in the blessings that I get to partake in every week? Here it is. So the Great Commission is to unite us. And we are all to be working together in that purpose. And I love Ephesians 4 for telling us about that. And Paul says right here in Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, he says, "Rather than speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ." There's no other way to grow but in Christ. He says, "For whom the whole body," notice this, "the whole body, every part, every member is joined and held together by every joint in which it is equipped." Who equipped it? Who put it together? The context is God has put you in the church. He's put you in for a purpose, for a mission, to be working, to be helping to reach others. Yesterday, you saw a lot of that. If you were here for Vacation Bible School, I don't know if anybody just came an adult and didn't have a role. Even our teenagers were here as aides, everybody working together. So he says, you're joined together and you've been equipped. In fact, the context is God, Christ has given you gifts. When he ascended into heaven, he gave gifts to the church to do this work. We each have one given to us by God to be used. And then he says, when each part is working properly. Well, when are you working properly? When I'm doing and using the gift that God has given me for the purpose of the church, to serve others, to show the love of Christ, to take the message of Christ's love, of his death, burial, and resurrection to the world. When we are working properly, it says it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. That's a beautiful statement with a promise. We want the body to grow. We want it to be built up. We see what's needed right here. We work together to grow together. When we see this message of evangelism throughout the Bible, can we accomplish Jesus' commission? Or should we just say, it's not possible, the world is too hard today? Listen to what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. He says, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful people who will be able to teach others also." For those who are faithful, the word "men" there means men and women, the Greek word. "And they are to be faithful, so teach them the truth, and the purpose is to pass it on." If you're teaching people to take God's word and share it with others, they're going to be teaching them to be doing the same. It is perpetual mission and something that we are to be a part of. That's why we have Bible classes, why we study together, why we need to be meeting together even more often in our homes to be thinking about what can we do to be sharing the gospel, united together as God's body, the body of Christ. Now, sometimes, brethren, can go different directions. And you look in Acts chapter 15, it's kind of surprising because when Paul was converted, nobody would receive him, but Barnabas took him in and he introduced him to the apostles and in Jerusalem. And so Paul gets that introduction. And in that city of Jerusalem is a man named John Mark. And the church would meet in Acts 12 and verse 12 in his mother's house, in her home. But John Mark goes on the first missionary journey, and about halfway through the journey, he gives up and goes back to Antioch, where they started from. And so when Paul and Barnabas go back, they spend time with the church in Antioch after they've gone to Galatia, and they've spread the gospel, and there's elders and churches after 3 years of work. And they both decide, we need to go back to those churches in Cyprus and Galatia. And Barnabas wants to bring John Mark, and Paul says, "No, I don't want to. Not bring him again. Tried to train him." And it says in the text that they were sharply divided. And even though Paul and Barnabas were divided, they still went out on their missionary journeys. One went to one island, to the island Cyprus. The other one went to Galatia. Paul went to Galatia. Paul brought along Silas, John Mark with Barnabas. But as you start to read the scriptures, you find out that Paul talks about John Mark later on in 1 2 Timothy, that he has become so valuable in the church. Things eventually work their way out. And I'm thinking about this in the context of division that happens in some churches. And we allow these things to divide us because some think this or that. But I'll tell you this, Paul and Barnabas still had the same mission. They still had the same work. They still went out and did the same thing. They didn't give up. And I know along the way there'll be some who are in the church who will go astray. The Bible warns us about false teachers who will want disciples to come after themselves. You look at Judas. Judas is in the presence of Christ. He's one of the 12. He went out. He had the ability to do miracles, the scriptures say. He was an apostle who was out teaching and preaching, but at the end, 3 years or 2 years later, at the end of Christ's life, he gives up. He betrays Christ. He expects nothing of Jesus resurrecting from the dead, and he kills himself. And I think we can learn from the scriptures. I certainly don't want to be like Judas, but I don't want to let any kind of division, like if you want to call it division, between Paul and Barnabas, to affect me, to discourage me, because there's a disagreement. We still had the same mission. I hope you'll think about that some more. So what can Christians do to be united in that mission? Before we start to finish up this morning, I want you to think about that. What can I do? What is my role? Where is my place? And it might be as simple as inviting someone to church. We need this. We need to train by following the examples of church leaders who are imitating Christ. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 1 and 2. And so the leadership in the church needs to be doing that, showing that they are following after the example of Christ sharing the gospel. We need to find ways to share the gospel, to share the truth of Jesus' resurrection with his promises and the life changes that go along with it. We look for that. When do I have the opportunity? I'm talking to my neighbor. How can I talk to them and share with them the truth? That should be in our thinking as Christians. Number three, we need to just invite others to come with us. If we don't know what to say, at least invite them. As we brought up at the very beginning, how Andrew invited Peter, Philip, Nathaniel in John chapter 1. We see in the Bible that visitors came into the church and heard the truth and became believers there in the assembly, 1 Corinthians 14, 24 and 25. And we might want to think about turning our conversations to higher things. You ever find that you're always talking about things that are essentially meaningless? I can have a long conversation with somebody about football, but football won't mean anything when I'm gone. It's just a bunch of men running around with a piece of leather in their hands on a green field. That's what they're doing. And I like it. But there are better things. What's the point in that? What's the purpose in what we're doing, the way we're living? So our conversations, when we talk to others, needs to go to a higher plane. And then we can follow the example of Paul and others in the scriptures. You get that conversation to change. You start talking about God. You might say, this is not who God is. This is clearly who he is. And lead that to sharing the gospel. And it takes practice. It takes thought. It takes prayer. We want to encourage you to do that this morning. Christians to seek to include others in their efforts to share the gospel. We're seeing that. We need to be working together. And I would encourage every one of us this morning, Christ did not give us a mission that we cannot accomplish. God would not do that. God doesn't give you a command that you cannot do. And so when Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, we can do it. I believe it. And it should unite us. Here's that scripture we looked at from the very beginning, Colossians 4, verses 5 through 6. And the first part of it told us to pray for open doors and for the right words and to pray on behalf of Paul. Paul was asking those Christians. And then we read this. Paul says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders. You know who they are. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. You don't have much time. Our life is a vapor. And you don't even know if the person you're talking to will be here tomorrow. Make the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. You ought to know how you answer each person. The Bible tells us to be prepared, be ready for that. Think about it. You're Christian. Think about how you're going to share the gospel with others. And lastly, going back to that losing team mentality, let's put that away. Christians have no reason to think about losing or giving up. Let's not be like Judas. Let's not go astray. Let's not become apostate. Let's stay committed to the mission of sharing the gospel. This morning, if you want eternal life, you can have it, and it's only found in Jesus Christ. And Jesus promised that. He said, those who are my sheep, they hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. If you want eternal life this morning, you can have it, and you can have it the way that Jesus promised. He says, if one is not born of the water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And we read right here, Jesus says in John 6 and verse 40, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will resurrect him on the last day. So you've got to lose yourself. You've got to be baptized into Christ, and God will raise you up in the newness of life. Having confessed that you believe, repenting of your sins, then you're baptized to start that new life. If you need to obey that gospel, do it this morning. It's only through Jesus that you can have eternal life because he rose from the dead. No other person has done that. No other person rose and was glorified. This morning, maybe you need prayers. You need encouragement. Maybe you need to do like Paul did in Colossians 4 and say, I need your prayers as I'm trying to teach my own family and friends. Well, let us pray with you. We want to do it. I want to pray with you. We encourage you right now, whatever your needs are, to come while we stand and while we sing. Please come.